Hello, friends and folks, and welcome back to the Hunter's Quorum. It's Monster Hunter. There are lots of monsters in Monster Hunter, and we're gonna hunt the monsters through verbal degrading insults.
What? Wait, whoa.
No, they're all friends.
That's not gonna happen.
I main unkind metaphors. I'm Six Stepmar from Scanline Media.
I main witticisms. I'm Alan Ibrahim from Chats and Scanline Media.
I am the monster public defender, Manofsky from Manofsky Article.
And we're joined by a special guest. Yes, Dylan, please take it away.
Yeah, hey, it's me. I normally talk about robots, but now I'm here to talk about monsters. And much like the robots, I like most of the monsters, so it'll... I think I'm leaning more on Manofsky's side.
That's right.
Here.
There are two of us now. Good luck.
Yay.
Yeah, but you know, Dylan's gonna be a pushover. Dylan's always a pushover, but especially
wow.
When delirious from fever.
Fucking wow. Wow. Rude.
I mean, listen, I have an insult lined up for one of these monsters. I just need to find out who's gonna get it.
Okay. I volunteer as tribute.
Which is why we're starting... No, you're not. Listen, I wouldn't say this.
Considering all these
That's
are good
unkind.
Fucking monsters this week, mm-hmm. I see you're gonna choose
see,
to be wrong.
This is the thing. Like... There was a Twitter exchange where I was saying unkind things. I was implying unkind things about the Kezu. And in order to point out the problem with Monster Hunter fans, I was like, y'all would simp for a tapeworm. And you were like, yes, we would. So it's like, what are we... I can't trust any of y'all's opinions.
Kezu is good.
I posted the what about it gif. This is... so.
Yes.
Yeah, Kezu's great.
I think... So
I'm not saying...
Some of my longest non-robot related arguments on Twitter that I've had with people are me randomly deciding to say on main that I love Kezu and everyone being like, what the fuck's your problem? And I'm like, I love it. It's so good.
I love Kezu. They're actually in a safe place for that one. Mm-hmm. I'll give you
the
that.
Fandom's on your side. I think I think in the last poll it was in the top five.
Hell yeah.
I don't like Kezu, but I appreciate its value. When I, like, if you were using, if... Okay, when I made the tapeworm comparison, if you were just taking that as one-to-one as me substituting for Kezu, then I see where you're coming from. I actually meant tapeworm.
I think those are also interesting, but let's move on.
Exactly! Here it is!
There can be interesting animals in the World 6 that are little freaks, and that's what a tapeworm is. It's a little freak, and it's a weirdo, but it's kind of cool, because it's weird. Yeah.
Let me sell you some diet pills. And let's talk about the Narcarcos. The Narcarcos, excuse me. I added an extra R.
Yeah.
It's a bone guy.
All right. So just look at it, the picture, and tell me what you think you see.
I think I see, like, an octopus wearing bones of a lot of dead things.
Okay. Bone octopus, yeah.
That's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Oh,
so, yeah,
right.
It is
cool.
It is a giant cephalopod. But... when you first fight it in a giant cave full of bones, you only see the two bone dragon heads. So it is disguising itself as a two-headed dragon.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
This is great.
Oh, no.
This rules.
Where that gif of the guy from, like, Survivor, where all the women are like, and then the one guy's like, yeah. But we're all of those people at once. This thing's gross.
It's great. I still remember this fight pretty well because I didn't know the twist. But, like, I knew something was up with it. I knew I'm not just fighting two, like, dragon boneheads coming out of the ground, but it was like, okay, what's gonna be the thing with this? And it's like, oh, okay, it's just a fun friend. It's just an octopus. It's great. I love this friend.
Yeah.
See, I'm not used to Monster Hunter fights having twists. It's possibly because I never actually get to high rank.
Yeah.
But, like, the closest you get is, like, the fucking, whatever, the monkey guy from 4, where the twist to the fight is there are two levels, and anytime you're on one level, he goes to the other, so the fight takes fucking forever.
It's a fun twist.
But yeah, this one definitely has the twist of just being prepared to fight, especially because it's in the Elder Dragon class. You're prepared to fight, like, oh, it's just this two-headed bone dragon, and then as you are fighting it, the giant octopus head emerges and starts doing additional damage and attacks to you.
Starts firing fucking beams.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm looking at the fight right now, and the, like, different, I guess, the sections on the different parts of it, like, glow red in its second form. which is just great. That's really fantastic.
And like most of the end game Elder Dragons, there's always like the they're the monsters you must kill. You cannot capture them. You cannot do anything because they present some sort of danger to the world. In Nekarkos's case, it's just insatiably hungry and devours entire ecosystems until there's nothing left. And its other gimmick is that it attaches blue fluids to everything. It's got this mucus, which makes all bones stick to things. So if it blows the mucus on you and then you do like a dodge roll, you can get caught up in bones and be unable to dodge it or use your weapons temporarily.
Just one of those really weird statuses that only exists for the one monster, but it's great. Love it.
I love that it's called boned.
you are boned.
Truly boned.
Yep. Mucus into boned.
Is this my new favorite Elder Dragon?
It's interesting. I mean, I'm assuming so, like, those dragon heads are just the bones arranged over tentacles using the blucus.
Yeah, because as you're attacking the dragon heads, you can knock the bones away and just reveal the tentacles underneath.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Knock the bones.
It's pretty good.
Knock the bones.
Yeah. Why can it shoot beams?
Elder Dragon.
Just trust that dragon energy is a thing. That's going to explain a lot of things going forward in the series.
It's very funny that this is, like, one of those dragons that is... So it's an elder dragon, and it uses dragon element, but one of those elder dragons that is not at all a dragon, because it's a fucking cephalopod.
The elder dragon gets to be a much looser grouping in the series over time, where it's just, like, an elder dragon can really be anything that's a little harder to define biologically. Like, it's got more magic potential or something, you know, it's... It's kind of a vague grouping, and yeah, it does just look like a fucking octopus, so...
Possibly an ancient super weapon, depending on how you look at it, that was manufactured, but, you know.
Oh, it's like the ultimate weapons and the emerald weapons in Final Fantasy VII.
I can't remember which book it was in, but, like, there's an implication that there is a long history with, you know, the monsters in the Monster Hunter world where they are genetically altered or something weird. Ooh. And that, because there are, like, I mean, we'll get to it in a little bit. There are even, like, ancient machines that are used for fighting these creatures that are, like, way more advanced than what they seem to be able to put out right now. So it's like, huh.
This is
real weird.
This
stuff.
Is one of the most controversial parts of Monster Hunter lore.
It's so good, really? Though. I love it. I love that it's not expanded on either.
It's expanded in, like, little bits and drops in most of the art books.
Yeah, but not really mentioned in the games or anything. But it's I think it's a very fun detail.
I mean, there's also the detail that like all the hunters are like space marines or whatever, right? There's some genetic shit going on there.
There may have been like super soldier ancestors in the before times. Who knows?
Yeah, cool. It's a big shrug, but. It's all fun.
Yeah, it is a big shrug.
It really is.
But it is fun.
But Nekarkos is not a big shrug. Nekarkos is fucking sick. Let's look at some equipment, as we do.
Yeah. It gets two colors of equipment.
Good.
It's bony.
Yeah.
Y'all like bones.
Really, really like the equipment. Hey, they actually gave the female armor full helms. Yay.
I don't really understand what's going on with the astral armor.
Oh.
That's just clothes?
Yeah.
That looks alright. The male astral armor.
Yeah, I don't
hate
it.
The female one, they're fine. The astral one's not the one I'm
looking
at.
The female one has okay things about it, but it also just has like the, you know, like what if we cut a slit down the middle of this outfit so you could see the booba?
Yeah. The astral armor is specific to the cephalopod parts, whereas the bone armor obviously is the bone parts. That's why there's a low rank version of the skeletal armor. But there's no low rank version of the astral armor is because you don't get to fight the actual octopus in low rank.
I love
okay,
the skeletal
the grand,
armor.
Yeah, the grand decayed gunner for a female where it has like the jet stream Sam face mask.
Yeah.
It's really sick.
Mm-hmm. I'm a little sad that that the female armor loses the full helm just because, you know... I assume it's been brought up here, just given the common Monster Hunter complaint, but They love never giving, you know, the female armor helmets in a way that always makes me really sad, because, you know, it's like, well, I like full helmets.
We share your argument.
Yay.
There are three good Monster Hunter armor aesthetics, in my opinion. There is, like, intensely, like, cool-looking, like, just armor-ass armor, right? There's somehow this looks like normal clothes, and then there's mad horny. Those are the only three ways it can be good.
Yep.
So where does Grand Skeletal
partially horny,
fit?
Get out of here. Grand Skeletal is closer to, like, the...
Armor-ass armor.
We do have that problem, especially on the female Blade Master, as Dylan was saying, yeah. Where it's just like, hey, we put we made a bone picture frame to place around your face.
Also, much like all endgame Elder Dragons, for the final versions of the Astral Weapons, they have some incredible fucking descriptions, by the way. Just to know.
Yeah, you gotta get into the flavor text of weapons and things now.
Like the Baleful Star Leo, which is the final greatsword, is... Oh, wait, no, you have to go to the Astral Leo, sorry, to get the real description. It just says the ultimate form. The Astral Leo just says, the executor of celestial will from the heavens, binding the stars together. You just start getting these really flowery descriptions with a lot of these endgame Elder Dragons, and I always love it. It's just good.
So extra. The Polaris Symbol, a cosmic weapon that summons the children of the stars in order to convey the will of the heavens. Whoa!
The Astral Pisces. The fins on this long sword swim along the heavenly seas amidst the stars. No, they don't. It's in my hands. What are you talking about?
No, but that's cool. I love late era Berserk.
Yeah, a lot of the weapons are constellation based, but I like the unsubtle, still have to fit in the anime nerd pun with the light bowguns blast of the North Star.
No, God. Wait. Wow,
blast of the North Star. It's pretty good.
How come there's no fist weapon in Monster Hunter?
Sometimes you get them in the form of dual blades.
But that makes sense. That makes sense.
And sometimes you can punch with sword and shield where the shield will just be invisible and be your fist.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's fair. Sword and shield's the most boring weapon. Sorry, Kyrie.
Wow. I used to make sword and shield.
Yeah, of course you did. I mean, I used to be a baby. These things happen.
God.
I hate that I've become a Lance player now because of
Rise. Lance is fun.
My problem was I used to be a gun Lance player, and I still play... Well, my problem is I play, like, almost every weapon, and I just swap through them, but in Rise, regular Lance became really, really, really fun to me. I really like the Silkbind technique, so now when I went back and played Monster Hunter 4 and, like, GU and stuff, I've been like, damn, I need to use Lance now in these old ones. Even though in the old games, Lance is just the most simple thing. You have a very easy game plan of just, I am blocking and I am poking,
But yeah, unfortunately, Rise Gunlance took too many damage nerfs and has way too much upkeep now for that lack of damage. So,
yeah,
frustrating.
Hate to see it.
Yeah, they never balanced Gunlance good. It's always either overtuned or undertuned, and never in between. Mm-hmm. They never nail that. But yeah,
and it doesn't. You know, I'm just ignorant here, but it seems like outside of like big content drops, they don't like drop balance patches.
They do minor ones, but it's always, like, a lot of little tweaking to things.
But yeah, you're not going to get new moves outside of, like, expansions.
A new generation or expansion,
especially bad if it's the moveset itself that is starting to hold back the thing, or it also might fall down to, oh, the weapon elements that are available for this weapon are a little weird or whatever. Like, early Rise also had a lot of weirdness with, like, oh... There's a very limited number of weapons and, within these categories, and you need very specific skills to make them work. Obviously, every time you hit G rank, that all changes, or Master rank, I guess now is the name, because they hate me. I just don't like it as much as G rank. I think G rank
is more fun.
What did the G stand for?
Don't know. But I think it's cool.
Yep, it was. I have also never looked into it. It's just what it was always called in Japan before World made it Master Rank.
Right. No, that's fair.
G no Reconquista. Sometimes you just have a G.
But she used that for Gundam, because it's a Gundam show.
No,
Dylan.
It's not called Gundam no Reconquista. It is Gundam Reconquista.
Yeah, they would never be repetitive with the F-91, Gundam F-91. Anyway, this is a yes for the beast and a keep for the armor, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Well, onward to the Vowel Strax.
Yes!
Hell yeah. Yes! Jet Dragon.
You sound somewhat excited.
I have been teasing that we might get to a monster I would actually call my current number one favorite, and that is the Vowel Strax.
That's fair. It's good taste.
That is...
Six and I hovering over the cut button. Doing our best.
Because it is a Jet Dragon. Yes, absolutely, because it is a Jet Dragon. It is just... really cool looking. It's a really fun fight, a beautiful design, and a really great moveset. It's just always entertaining to go up against, and some other details we'll get to. And also, I just really love falcons, and this kind of fights like a jet-powered falcon. In fact, in Japan, its name was more like it was more. It's more pronounced like Valfalk or Valfalk, which was supposed to be like a. I think it was supposed to stand for like Valor Falcon, but they changed it to Vowel Strax here, which makes it sound more like a prescription medication with like too many side effects.
I was about to say that Valtrex is literally it's a herpes medication. As somebody who used to work in a pharmacy,
there you
Valtrex,
go.
So
there you go. Yeah. So I'm not necessarily a fan of the localized name, but I love everything else about this monster.
Mm-hmm. I love that it looks like a. It looks like what I would play as in a Saturn or Dreamcast, like, schmuck.
Sure, sure. Like this would be, like, the ultimate unlockable in Panzer Dragoon or something.
Yeah.
I love that the flames on it aren't even, like, fire. They're just, like, if you squint your eyes, you barely see them. They're just there. They're very, like, hazy and weird looking, which immediately differentiates it from the average dragon.
Yeah.
So that's pure dragon
that
energy.
I simply love that it has a fucking intake on its chest because it is a jet powered dragon, so it has an air intake on the chest.
Yes. It will pause mid fight and like start absorbing the air around it and converting it into dragon energy, which is used as jet fuel to take off. And the fun thing about that feature is in the fight. If you and the other hunters can do enough damage to it while it's charging, its chest will explode like a like engine that backed up wrong, and it'll give you like a free tumble to get some extra damage in.
Am I seeing correctly in this video of the fight, by the way? It does the Radahn, my favorite fight in Elden Ring thing, where he jumps into the air.
Yes, I am confident that the Radahn fight borrowed this move specifically from Vowel Strax.
Oh, it's so good. Are you saying that Radahn is a Vowel Strax gaijink?
It's very possible.
Anything's possible. That's so good.
The implementation of that technique into Rise is also really good because it's like the music will cut out and you'll just be like, oh, okay, it looks like it may have retreated to another area, and then you realize, wait a minute, no. It's a mad scramble to make sure you can roll in time, because if not, it hurts.
Yeah, you'll just hear the jet gradually getting closer as it circles back toward you to dive in. It's so good.
Six, you were saying?
I also appreciate that. This is just one of those natural things. Like, of course, this is how this works. But because of where those like dragon engine verniers are positioned, when it comes into land, it does like a VTOL thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just,
there's not a lot about this that isn't sick. I will say, if like just looking at the equipment, it doesn't look that cool, except for you realize that, of course, when it's being swung and stuff, it must do the effects shit.
Well, and so. It has a very unique gimmick as far as equipment goes. So the weapons going into like sort of the jet theme are very all or nothing. So they only like. Other weapons have, like, gradual levels of sharpness. Vowel Strax weapons all have the highest sharpness, and then they go right into the lowest sharpness if you swing them too much without sharpening. Like, it's literally the best and the worst. And in that same idea, too, of, like, being a jet pilot and taking big risks, the Vowel Strax armors all have skill gimmicks where... you do more damage if you don't immediately heal your red recoverable damage. So, like, by taking the risk of not restoring yourself to full health, and also the lower that health goes, the higher damage you can output, but at the risk of dying at any hit. So,
yep.
I see Valstrax is on the cover of Ultimate.
Yes.
Yes, it's the flagship for Ultimate.
And then,
this is a flagship because it can fly.
But I think in Rise, you only fight the Crimson Glow Valstrax. You don't fight the regular one.
Yeah, it's...
That's always a weird differentiation because they do basically look the same. Yeah. But...
Crimson Glow got a couple new moves. It got, like, a big beam attack and a couple, like, changes to the combo flow of it. But otherwise, yeah, you only fight the variant in Rise.
It's a cool dragon. Also, a couple other neat features is when it's enraged, its color darkens. And also, it pops down like a visor, basically. I don't know exactly what it is that causes that effect, but like here, I'm throwing it in the voice chat. You can see, though, and this is visible in the GU intro movie, too, when it's flying, is... It basically has, like, shades that can pop down over its eyes. like a membrane that pulls over the eyes that is dark.
Oh, it's not so like deal with sunglasses.
I presume it's just so it can't, it won't damage its eyes while going super fast, but yeah.
Yeah, like how a lot of birds of prey have those membranes that come down for that purpose. But Viscuits look like cool shades, like an awesome pilot guy.
And in the intro video, also, just catching fish, I believe you catch, actually, well, a Ludroth, but, you know, aquatic creatures, just goes in for the dive and grabs it, and then also flies through fucking airships because it doesn't like sharing the skies with things, which is, that's its whole backstory, scary issue, is just like, hey, look, we started flying our airship, oh my god! As this thing just starts spiking through, like, multiple airships.
It does not share airspace kindly.
I think truly my favorite thing about it, besides the look and the weapons and the fight, is when it does things like that notorious, like the big beam that the version in Rise does, it doesn't sound natural. It doesn't sound like a dragon. It sounds like exactly like a jet. It has like very mechanical noises, and that's not something we get super often in Monster Hunter. You know, a game that is like very much about like disturbing and using things from the natural environment. It's like, this thing doesn't belong. This thing is like scary in a way.
Yeah, very mechanical in a way that we don't get to see. On that note too, its wings kind of morph when it's using them to like stab at you. I'm not really sure exactly how they work in that way, but it's always really cool that it just kind of extends like swords at you sometimes, or swings them on almost like a swivel. Very unusual.
Punching you in the face with jet powered punches. Well, stabs, I guess, because the end is bladed, but you know. It's great.
I mean, as we were talking, I bought a copy of Generations Ultimate, so I think we're keeping Valstrax.
Yes.
We didn't even mention the armor super in depth, but yeah, besides like the skills and stuff that it does, but those shoulders with the three pointy orange pieces on both the male and female versions, and the blade
the way
master,
they're curling up from behind, yeah, is a good look.
It looks amazing. And then the Blade Master male that looks literally like a Power Rangers villain, like an end series Power Rangers villain.
Yes,
it's just so good. Are you kidding? Chrome. I'll never play enough Rise to unlock this thing, to fight this thing, but I wish I could.
Well, if you ever want to try, we're happy to help.
Yeah.
So this is a keep all the way. All the way.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Yeah, there's kind of not really anything else we can push back on.
They need to relax. They need to turn the dial down.
Well, don't worry. They're about to with the
Otelkov.
Oh, how wrong
you
are.
Do this.
Yeah, oh, yeah, no, Six, you're so wrong.
Six!
What's up?
This is so good, too! This is cool!
You're a big fan of Pharaohs, huh?
You know what it does? You don't know what it does,
so,
do you?
Yeah, I didn't want to say anything about this either, because I want to hear your reactions in real time, and I want the listeners to be able to experience your reactions in real time.
Should I, like, look up a fight and watch it or something, or what? Can you tell me?
Well, we can talk about it while you want to look at a fight, if you want to do that.
Okay, great.
And then
sure.
Yeah, if you want to share a link with me, Alan, we can both sort of play at the same time and figure out what the deal is. I'm going to guess that it fights.
Oh, yeah, but not in a way you would necessarily expect a mantis to.
Sure, I wanted to have a guess that was right for once, okay?
Oof! Bada boof. All right, ready, six?
So,
almost. It's
yeah, as, you, as you're all queuing that up, one significant thing about this is the final old-school Monster Hunter monster before the series becomes Monster Hunter as we know it. This is...
Huh.
What does
like,
that mean?
Like, you know, after Generation 4, it jumps to 5 with World and Rise, and the way, like... The wave of it that has become much more popular, and it kind of left behind a lot of the things that defined all of the generations before.
Oh.
Like, GU is kind of the last of the old school experiences. And so Atal Ka had a lot to live up to as far as being, like, the final boss of that entire generation.
Okay.
Six.
Are you ready, Alan?
Yep.
Three, two, one, go.
I have a suspicion.
Okay, we're not ruined, Castle.
I have a suspicion about what the Atal Ka can do.
I do too, because there was a loading screen description.
Uh-huh.
Pitch.
Yeah. But for the listener, right. it's pharaoh like. We have an Egyptian aesthetic. It's all yellow. It's sort of like a gigantic.
Okay, we got a great party here. We have two longsword users, BFD and Nimuru, uh-huh. A greatsword user, Star Lily, Carrot. And then I believe we have a palico named Noel.
Okay, well, shout out to them. Look up their channel.
Okay, it's... Oh, okay, all right. It's it appears to be doing some manner of construction.
Uh-huh. Building?
Yeah, I think it is... Okay, well, it had the beam and then it lost the beam.
Uh-huh.
So maybe,
Yep.
All right,
but for the viewer that might not know Atal Ka, like initially it is a mantis that's, you know, large, but not much larger than the hunter. So I think your initial impression is just like, okay, this is going to be just kind of an underwhelming fight. I was expecting some cool, spectacular dragon or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, it uses this is the original wire bug. If you've played Rise, it gathers up a giant construction beam that swings around initially. And you're like, okay, maybe that's all there is to it. And then something truly spectacular happens.
I don't believe you. There's no way.
We're waiting for spectacular. Sure. He's kind of still just freaking out with the beam. So,
Dylan, is there anything you want to say while they're?
The only things I was gonna note is that it is shaped kind of more like an orchid mantis, where it's got like the pointier eyes and it's got like a lot more of the flowery features. But then, of course. As mentioned, it has, like, a very obvious Egyptian theming going with it, like a sphinx almost or something. It's really cool. I like the bug form of it, but yeah, no, the,
Oh, well, they knocked it over. This fight's pretty much over.
Oh, okay, okay. So you looked up a fight that's doing really, really well on it.
Yeah. Oh, we want to see it do the transformation?
Should we skip ahead a little bit or something?
I'm actually looking at the video y'all are in.
By the way, the wiki does say it's specifically a devil's flower mantis, or at least that's the closest mantis to it.
Okay.
Around 244, it starts doing the thing.
Okay, we're almost there, so yeah. All right.
Yep.
He does a big screamy.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And then he starts fine. Pooping everywhere.
Yeah, he's pooping. Queen substance obtained. That's great.
Okay.
Hello.
Okay.
Hello.
Appears to have a huge mecha dragon.
That's right.
That he's,
so
monster.
Okay.
Monster.
I thought I had guessed it.
I thought like a smaller thing would come out of it, but no. It pilots a gigantic, the biggest thing I've ever seen in Monster Hunter.
Uh-huh.
A mech.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was going to make, like, a castle or something, or you had to knock down... This is...
Yep,
that is...
It has taken over an ancient anti-dragon device to fight you with, and it's great.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so using all of its silk, it has cobbled together the pieces of weapons and, like, yeah, machinery that have been previously used to defeat monsters, and now it is using them against people.
And you climb on its back and stuff. Oh my! This is it. So this was like the last monster of this generation.
Yes,
because that's a beautiful send off.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, and you have to undo all of its silk bindings. And yeah.
Oh, it's so desperate to win that in its last moments it says, no, I can do better. And then it climbs inside of a gigantic rock thing.
And
wow.
And that's been the story of Atel Ka, is that as this sort of mantis that isn't much larger than humans, it's just been going from like human encampment to human encampment and just collecting things from all of them and using it to build this like protective mech that it just rides around in, stealing treasures and weapons and everything from everywhere it goes.
That's remarkable. Oh,
they're running up the throat now and like they're mining it.
Yeah,
this is
they're
amazing.
Mining off the Atel Ka, yeah.
Yeah, you're stealing Atel Ka's treasures.
And if you jump forward a bit, eventually it goes back to normal mode and then picks up a wheel. It, like, picks up different things and throws them at you. Oh, that's just great. That's really
great. All right, let's, you know, for the sake of the process, I'll look at equipment.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know?
I feel like, yeah, we might as well. We owe it.
Oh, this armor.
It can't be good.
This armor rules.
No. Hold on. Oh, no, it is good.
Just the use of color with, like you know, yellowish gold and like purple and white.
It's like a pearlescent purple too, which is really nice. Like,
not like
purple
a
and blue.
The weapons are also very large and beautiful when on your hunter. Like, I think just seeing them in the thumbnail of just the weapon itself might be a little underwhelming, but like seeing them attached to your hunter, some of these just look spectacular.
Yeah, I think I actually have a photo with one of these weapons.
I gotta stop the video.
The hunting horn, which is like curved in a weird way. Ooh, yeah.
And it does end with it riding a wheel around, which looks comical, but some people have read into that imagery of the wheel being the last thing you fight as sort of like the Wheel of Rebirth
cycle
theme.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like it's
darn.
Yep, Dharma, yeah. It's gonna be born anew into a new kind of monster hunter after this fight.
There's the I'm wearing the one armor with it, but the weapons are big. It's the gun lance there. The way that it expands is really cool too. Sadly, I don't have more photos of it from when I was playing. I was hoping
that's
I would.
Huge. Oh, and you look great.
Yep, I like the Nursilla armor. You could make it match with most things.
Spider and Mantis go well together. But yeah,
like ebony and ivory.
Yeah, a really cool thing about the Atel Ka equipment too is that when you pull it out, like there tends to be like a sort of transformation gimmick to most of the weapons, where they unfurl in specific ways that give you that sense of machinery coming together. And also, the palicos turn into mummies.
Sure.
That's
okay.
Good. They have to add something. Yeah.
I really like was, Atel Ka.
This is
lot.
An example where I wish that there was more Monster Hunter lore. Can you believe it? Would love a little bit more.
That's fair.
The throne collapses and exposes the head to reach the giant cocoon where it's hiding. Ugh. Ugh. And you can use a Dragonator on it.
Yep.
Ugh. Beautiful
and,
stuff.
And it
beautiful
uses stuff. Dragonators on you, which it pulls out of the sand from people who have failed to use them on it before.
Apparently that move they reused for a fight in Rise.
Yes.
The pulling the Dragon Eaters out, which we'll talk about much, much later.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Atel Ka. You mentioned this one on our previous episode, Manowski. I know it's been a while.
Yes.
I was like, whatever. It looks fine.
On a previous episode, I asked both of you to look up nothing about Atel Ka till we recorded about it.
Oh.
Here's the great news is I don't look up anything about anything ever.
Well, good.
Me neither. I don't know how to look
up. Just an idiot.
But yeah, just a perfect send-off to Generation 4.
Yeah, and then it's time to kick it to Monster Hunter World. And by the way, of course, it's a keep. Take it to Monster Hunter World and Generation 5. And as you say, really a new beginning. And like I think there's a degree to which they couldn't have predicted how big it became.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. But they were trying deliberately to kind of like reset in scale and tone to capture a new audience. That is clear playing World.
World can be your first Monster Hunter.
Yeah, Monster Hunter was adored in Japan up to this point, but like they had never really captured anything outside of like a niche Western audience. So World was like a big reinvention of like more attention to, you know, graphical fidelity and, you know, like more attention to like making the maps these sort of massive open environments, and yeah, just a lot of things that would appeal a lot more to Western players, and also a big move over to the giant consoles. You know, now it's on PS4 and PC and Xbox, and it wasn't on any of those things really before.
Yeah, for the longest time, it just had the handheld, like, you know, just going with it being niche. Mm-hmm. Just, you had it on handhelds, that's what it was on.
And it's fascinating and, yeah, that this was 2018. Like, it doesn't, it feels longer. It feels like it's been a while.
Well, it was... Oh, sorry, I was thinking of...
Wow, yeah, wait, 2018, so... geez. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it feels like it's been longer.
Absolutely.
So, it and Generations Ultimate came out pretty close to each other.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, because it's Ultimate, huh. So it's like their re-release of Generations.
Sure, I just assumed there would have been a longer gap mm-hmm. between...
And Dylan bringing up the portable side is very important, too. Like, the popularity in Japan made sense because there were a lot more, you know, there are a lot more close commutes using public transportation. It became, like, a fun thing to take to your office or to school and play with, you know, colleagues or classmates. Like, that... But handheld has never quite taken off, you know... stateside. Yeah, it's, and you know, and I think that's also because, you know, Japan has way better public Wi-Fi and internet connections and things, so like we're really like a culture of, you know, the large consoles, so this was the big console push and it paid off for them. It's I believe it's maybe their best-selling game of all time for Capcom now.
Yeah, one of them for sure. It's definitely up there.
Yeah, it's in the upper echelons. Like, this made Monster Hunter their Capcom's number two selling series of all time over Street Fighter.
And just speaking of World again, before we get into this first monster, like, World being a console game matters, and it changed the way that they think about the design of, like, how the maps should be laid out, what they can expand towards besides just better graphics and more of everything. It's like the fights take longer, and you actually have to, like, use tracking to find the monsters, which was a feature I really like, although a lot of people weren't fans of. Like, everything felt a lot more deliberate and slow, but in a very purposeful way, in World compared to, like, 4 Ultimate. And you can see the difference in, like, the scale of the monsters that you fight, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And also in the environmental interactions, there's a lot more, like, using the environment to do things against the monsters than there was before.
Yeah, this is right before they did the Wirebug. So now it's just, like, you're climbing, you're jumping around, you're dropping things on the monsters, all sorts of good stuff.
You can trigger a waterfall to knock a monster off a cliff. Like, there's things you can do that you just weren't available to you.
Mm-hmm. And our first monster, Six, if you don't mind me taking this one, is the Anjanath, which is a dinosaur with a head crest. We've seen both of those things before, except this time, that dinosaur has got wings, baby.
A real messed up nose.
Yeah.
Anjanath's pretty gross.
So
pretty disgusting.
My first thought about Anjanath is... It is amazing that it took them 5 generations of restraint to do a monster that looks like a T-Rex.
Right? It's like shocking.
Yeah.
I think they've done things that are T-Rex-like, but they haven't done a T-Rex just yet. Which is, yeah, it's weird.
And I think
it seems like such a layup.
And I think it's wise that they deployed the T-Rex at the big console push. You know, like, this... Because Anjanath really does look very spectacular in World.
Mm-hmm.
A detail I like about it, and this is corroborated by the design notes, is that they with Anjanath, they wanted to make a big push toward going to current theories about feathered dinosaurs. So they really pushed the design to resemble a vulture. So it has the bare vulture head and then the feathered body.
Big tongue. Not that that's a vulture thing, but like big talons also.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah, that's an interesting thing to mention.
Also, with the turf wars and stuff that were introduced in Monster Hunter World, which is, you know, monsters fighting each other in the world and on quests.
Yeah, because before this, they tended to just gang up on you and never even acknowledge each other. So that was a good thing. Mm-hmm. I like that change.
But it also, to me, it kind of like the Anjanath. I played, like, the first one I played was Freedom, right? Like, I've been playing this for, like, I was never super thorough, but I've been actually touching this here and there for a long time. And the Anjanath was the first time that I fought a monster and was like, you're an asshole.
Yeah.
And I think part of that is Turf Wars, right? Because Anjanath, you know, someone else shows up and Anjanath is like, fuck you. Because really just doesn't like anyone.
Well, think about this as your first Monster Hunter, right? You're running through that first map and you see the Aptanoth and you're like, wow, what a beautiful, majestic creature. And it's telling you need to go kill the Anjanath and you're like, where is it? And you turn around. And this actually happened to my friends this was their first Monster Hunter game. You just see the Anjanath pick up the Aptanoth in its mouth, throw it up, and then catch it and swallow it. And you're like, oh my god. It's the, you know, there's always a bigger boat effect, but to the extreme. And it's literally one of the first major monsters that you fight. It's very intimidating and cool.
It also is sort of in that game framed as like the first fight that's like serious business, right? Because they send you off to fight like is it the Jaggy?
You're fighting the Great Jaggers. Yeah.
Okay, see, the thing, it's all the greats, you know, kind of blend together. But you fight Great Jaggers, you fight a few other little things, you also fight like a group of regular Jaggers as a quest, and they're like, oh, go take care of this, it's fine, right? And then they're like, hey, you're gonna fight an Anjanath now?
Please,
he's not actually, these people were fucking around, he is not.
Yeah, it's the first monster that's not roughly the hunter size. Yeah. It is way larger than you. And I mean, it's so spectacular that I remember the reveal trailer for World was just them stalking and then finding an Anjanath. Like, they knew, like, this is the big wall moment of just really capturing your imagination. And yeah, putting you up against a monster that just might kick your ass. Like,
the Yankuku of a new generation. Showing how far back I've been playing these fucking games.
Only old heads will get this one. Yeah, I love it.
I like the Yankuku. Mostly just because it's fun to say.
My thing with the Anjanath, though, in terms of a keep or not, is it's so good in the context of World. And I am going to lean towards keeping it. I think, like, otherwise, it's just, you know, it's a T-Rex with wings. Like, if I'm just purely aesthetically looking at it.
Well, and they're fins. They're not
fins. Yeah. They're the heat-regulating fins. That's when you know it can blow. It's going to breathe fire at you.
Yeah, and it does do a lot of fire breathing. But, like, if I'm just looking at this thing without its context, I'm like, yeah, that's a pretty cool T-Rex. I like that. But I think its context and where it fits into Monster Hunter, as well as the quality of the fight, turn it over the edge for me.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I agree.
You haven't been turned.
I feel like if you were to just talk to me, I would be very fond of the Anjanath and I would speak very kindly of it. But I feel like we have a responsibility to consider the list we have so far and the context we have so far. And I think in that context, the Anjanath doesn't seem as special to me anymore.
I am going to make one defense here, which is, looking at the list ahead, I think there are more cuttable monsters than the Anjanath.
Whoa! Is this a rare... is this a rare Manofsky allowing for cuts? What'll this mean for the WWE?
I think I actually agree with Manofsky here. I have a lot of appreciation for Anjanath as, like, the new first wall, whereas...
Yeah.
We've talked a lot, we've made World sound really good, but of course me being an old head means I also have some opinions about some things in World, and, you know.
Game design, good. Boss design, fight design, not always the best. Not always the best compared to what's been, that we've seen so far.
Yeah, and I'm curious, would equipment also be, just because I'm not used to the format of the show, the equipment keep or pass is also, like,
it's part of the consideration.
It's in the all-in-one consideration.
So I will tell you this, though, because I think I know where you're going. The first episode I was on, I said, we're going to have a little more trouble with World as far as equipment goes, because equipment in World, this is one of the big gripes of the old heads, and I agree with it, is the equipment in World had a problem of not always being as flashy, interesting, or quirky as the generations that came before.
Uh-huh. And specifically, also, they really like to reuse certain bases on equipment, such as, like, I believe the Anjanath Dual Blades, which are the two axes. Those two axe heads are used on multiple other weapons.
Yes.
It's just the base of the weapon is different, and that applies to a couple other ones.
And,
I mean, there's a reason we make it a separate, like, if you look at the sheet, it's a separate box. We can have things where we're like, we're keeping this equipment, but we don't like the monster that much, or the other way around. Those are both possibilities.
I think the compromise I'm willing to give, let's just look at the equipment for a bit, is I do think some of the equipment's, like, fine, because, again, this is the first time I'm seeing these these like models, and I know I'm gonna see these models a bunch. But I think this is a barely keep monster for me and a borderline cut equipment.
I can be okay with that.
It's just not we just saw so much wild shit in a row. In a row we saw so many wild bits of weaponry and armor, and now the Anjanath armor is like, I mean, it's knight armor. Like, it's got some brown and black coloring.
I don't know, like, Dylan Minofsky, I don't know your personal history with this, but I know I can say this to speak for Alan and I. We're both, like, we both played a lot of World of Warcraft back in the day, right? Sure. And we have a connection with, like, it doesn't always have to be the case that the armor has to look like flashy, badass shit. There's a way to do a humble aesthetic that also looks good. I like the look of level 30 armor in WoW. And this is just like, what if the Flintstones were building a bikini and then they got distracted before finishing it?
That's fair.
And I'm just not impressed.
I will say, I like the feather capes on these. I think
the feather capes are good.
Yep.
And the big like fur shawls are also quite good.
Yes.
Yep. The armor underneath though is you have a lot of just iron armor too, right? Like, The thing that comes up, I think, with some monsters in World, and again, early monsters especially, you don't always get the most identity out of the equipment, and just having the iron armor that just happens to have some Anjanath skin draped over it isn't always the most exciting thing. And again, my big thing, though, for equipment is just I'm looking at these weapons and I'm like, yeah, I know all of these archetypes almost, because only a couple of these are unique. Like, I think the greatsword is unique, but like these dual blades, this long sword,
I think this hammer, maybe.
Yeah, the hammer, the gun lance, the light bow. All of this is just using that same template for bone weapons that is going to be used in a bunch of monsters in World. And so it just, I will always be grumpy about that. I totally get why there are some people that are like, there are people who don't mind it as much, and I get it. It's just, as someone who really likes the old Monster Hunter weapons that have a lot of, like, flair to them, a lot of identity to them, a lot of, like, moving pieces when they need to, etc., that some of the stuff in World was kind of disappointing. Because, I mean, World's a very gorgeous game. Mm-hmm. The environments are great. But there's also a degree of which I wish they had just focused a bit more on the equipment, and Anjanath's a good example of that, because it's a new monster. It should have new equipment, you know? Mm-hmm. And instead it's a lot of this template-based equipment.
Thankfully, I think Capcom took a lot of the criticism about that to heart, and you see a little more of the creativity back in Rise, and I'm hoping that whatever World 2 or, you know, whatever they're going to call that will look like, they're going to kind of double down a little more on the style of equipment.
Yeah. And I mean, a thing to note is, up until World, Monster Hunter was a very iterative game series. there were definitely, you know, moving from like the PSP to the 3DS, there are improvements on the models, but I'm pretty sure they're doing a lot of reuse of assets from game to game.
Oh yeah.
Like, especially by the time you hit Gen U, like, you know, they have all these skeletons working within this engine that is a very specific thing that they've built. World is doing it all from the ground up, so I get it. It's very expensive. But again, also, me as the small games liker is sometimes like, well, maybe you shouldn't let the budget get out of scope like that, though. You know? So
it's what they choose to focus on. You know? Yeah. It's like,
I will also note real quick, there's a variant. There's the full gore Anjanath. Mm-hmm. It's a sort of like a lightning-y one with white fur. It looks okay.
Yep. I like the patterning in the wings and stuff, and I like that the nose bone, not nose bone, but like the nose piece that grows out glows when it's in electric mode.
Yeah, that's good.
I also like that they really focused on the nostril designs. If you read the Monster Hunter World design book, which is hundreds of pages, there's an entire page dedicated just like them trying to work out all the details of the nostrils. Because they wanted they wanted that fight to focus on, like, they wanted this to be like the first monster you felt was chasing you, and their biological explanation for how it always would find you was it just has a great sense of smell, which is why you would always find like mucus everywhere. That would be the thing you tracked it with compared to other monsters.
That's true. Yeah. Huh.
I love it.
It did have a lot of fucking drool. Well, I think it's time for a first. We're actually going to have another guest on the episode because it's time for the flying wyvern that if you say their name three times, they will appear. Basil juice, basil juice, basil juice. I've never seen that movie.
Pretty good. So we were just singing the jingle for basil juice because if you ever fight this monster, this monster is an asshole.
It's an invader. It's an invader. It will bother you. It's going to appear and it's going to fuck up everything once it's been unleashed upon the world for you.
Titles like The Invading Tyrant and Party Crasher.
Basil is like Devil Joe. It is a monster that loves to interrupt you fighting other monsters just to ruin your day. Not all monsters do that, but those two in particular are just compelled. And whenever Basil Juice is in the airspace around you, that song starts playing, and then it is just obliterating you with explosions like a Dragon B-52 bomber.
Such a dick.
It's really great, though. I think it's a really cool monster, actually. Mm-hmm. I love it when it appears. The great thing is, it does cause damage to the monsters you're fighting, generally, too, because it just peppers the entire battlefield with its beard of bombs and its tail of bombs, and they just start going off. It's great. I just think this is a fun guy. He looks like an evil pine cone.
Yes.
I mean, he also reminds me of since we're originally a Pokemon podcast, like Jango and that whole line.
Yeah.
Well,
Jangmo, excuse me. Gosh.
A very funny thing, too, was that the fact that Basil Juice was in Rise, and then they announced a Bichiton variant that threw pine cones instead of fruit, led a lot of people to go, oh, all the pine cone theme monsters are here. Seregios will be here, too. And then Seregios was the next monster announced. So all the pine cone boys are back.
Yep. And it's kind of funny, because in some ways, Basil's kind of like the inverse of Seregios, right? Mm-hmm. Seregios is a big, bladed, outward pine cone, and then this guy's all, a bunch of bombs that are tucked in that it instead attacks more from a distance with.
Yes.
Or just indirectly attacking a lot of the time. I'm excited to have them both in the same game, just because they both feel like they should. They feel like they belong together.
Yeah, I can imagine a quest where they're both going to attack you at the same time, and it's going to be great.
Yeah. I am enamored with a monster that has no qualms about who it's attacking. I know that we're talking about world, but in its intro in Rise, it says, friend or foe irrelevant, it craves war. It's just and it's also listed as the Party Crasher, which is that's just so great. They made a monster that's there to annoy you when you're fighting other monsters. And you do hunt the Basil Juice on its own in one of the quests, but otherwise, that's so good. Oh, that's so good. That monsters just exist in the world and mess with each other. That's when I first was playing 4 Ultimate, I realized that could happen in a really small scale. I was I want Monster Hunter to just be about this. Monsters interacting and having environment and ecosystem reactions. That's so cool.
Yeah, and World delivers that in spades, and Basil is a very big proponent of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Over in the equipment world, we have some cool weapon designs. We have an old style Swordbreaker sword. We have some very classic dual headed axes.
I like the lance with the explosive tip.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is that what that is? That makes sense.
No. All right,
sure. And then down in armor, happy Pride Month, y'all. Are you a Pride Alpha or a Pride Beta?
Alpha, oh my god, I'm both. Depends on the day. It's so beefy. It's so scaly.
Yeah, I love the bear helmet on the male armor, too, that it has.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fun one. Basil is just really good. With the equipment, also, I believe that second set of equipment there is specifically the seething equipment. So that's why you've got, the darker colors on it, as well as, the more intense glow.
I do think the seething looks... it's fancier. I think it just looks better.
Yep, I agree.
Though the heavy bowgun's fucking ammo belt is very silly.
I love the... For once, I actually really like the female armor version of it on the Seething Pride Beta.
Mm-hmm.
I just love that visor with the big hair. It just looks cool.
It's a good look.
Really good armor there. But yeah, which I guess would we be talking about seething on this too?
Yeah.
Yeah, we talk
take
about
variants into account.
The beta plus, yeah, is amazing, male and female. I actually think I prefer the female one with the sort of like the mask.
Yeah.
Yeah, love that. So good.
Huge fan of that.
That's what you could use to cosplay as Raiden if you want to do it.
Yeah, it's a variable, it's a versatile cosplay rather. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Basil, I think, is really, really, really good. Unfortunately, Seething Basil, I don't like as much, and I think Manofsky will know why. It has some really cool attacks that they've added to it, but it doesn't invade you anymore.
Yeah.
I believe, I'm wondering if this was in response to people, because I know that Basil was not always the most popular monster in the original game. And it wouldn't be a huge deal, but the problem is, in Master Rank, there is no regular Basil, it's only Seething.
Yeah.
So, it's just a really sad thing for me, because I really love the idea of the original Basil just swooping into the battlefield. You hear the theme play, it drops a bunch of bombs, it juggles, like, you and the enemy monster around, and then it just fucks off and is just like, okay, I'm done with you, I'm bored.
And if you fight for too long, it might come back and do it again. Like,
yep. Seething, on the other hand, doesn't really get to do that. Seething's personality doesn't really get to shine through, because you only really ever hunt it when you're on a mission where you're explicitly hunting it.
Yeah.
Which I think is very disappointing, especially because...
Is that a common problem with variants? I feel like variants probably don't pop up in other people's missions very much, right?
Yeah, it's more of a Basil juice thing, and I think, as Dylan was alluding to, initially with Basil, there were like a lot of fan complaints of like, oh, I'm sick of this thing coming in and always doing its thing. And then when they kind of took it away, I've seen in retrospect the opinion shift back to Basil was always cool. So like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
So now it's a beloved monster from World. But
of course,
yeah, it was definitely not like that at the time of World. I do remember seeing a lot of people complain about it. I remember, because, you know, obviously I take a look at what old heads are thinking of the game, because I'm an old head too, and it's funny because I have a lot of complaints about World, but relative to other old heads that I like knew or saw around, I was very defensive of World, which is very funny to me. Because in retrospect, I'm also very critical of it in a lot of aspects, but you know, I think it's a neat game. Seething Basil, though, is one of the ones where I'm just really sad that they maybe listened a little too much to the input, and instead, it does have some really cool attacks. It does some really neat new things. You can see from its design, Seething Basil now has like a little bit of additional blue on its design. It glows a lot more intensely, which is why its armor glows way more. It basically does one of my favorites, which is it flies up into the air and then just does a dive bomb straight down and basically nukes the battlefield, which I think is great. But overall, Seething is just such a disappointing follow-up in that you just rarely ever see it. Whereas original Basil, you see all the fucking time. You'll be very acquainted with it.
So I would say let's rate for original Basil then, because...
Of course, yeah, of
yeah,
course.
Of course. Original Basil, I would say, is a keep for sure.
I think a keep for both it and the equipment. And I will say, I'm if this already exists, then that's fantastic. But I'm gonna guess it doesn't. I want there to be a chance when you do a high rank arena thing for Basil to show up.
That'd be so good.
Yeah.
I will say there is one in Rise where I think you fight a Magnamalo and a Basil at the same time. And I only remember that quest. It doesn't show up, unfortunately, in the spectacular way you're describing, where I wish it would do that. But my memory of trying to solo that one was that in the arena quests, you can put up a fence to divide them. And I don't know if it was Basil or its timing or what, but I put the fence up, and then I heard the Basil roar, and it just hit the top of the fence and immediately collapsed it. And I've never seen a monster do that before. So
yeah,
it was amazing.
It's good. Oh, and since you mentioned it there too, should mention, Basil also has a very distinctive roar. You know, a lot of people will associate it with the theme, but it also has a pretty cool roar.
Yeah, you know a Basil roar when you hear it. Like, it's just one of those things.
And the wiki points out that the Seething one actually has a distinct roar. It's a lot more guttural, which is pretty neat.
I like when they give variants a little more than just appearance to. There we go.
Yeah, I just had to link that.
I also like the wiki context of Beetlejuice tends to have turf wars with Devil Joe, and they're pretty close, but don't watch, you're gonna die.
Yeah. The Devil Joe one is really funny because Devil Joe tries really hard to eat it and it doesn't work because Basil just starts exploding every time. It's one of the few things that Devil Joe cannot eat because just trying to bite into it and it's just like, oh, this thing's covered in explosives. Ah, ow, ow, my mouth. It's very good. But yeah. Fun friend.
Love that, Basil.
Next up, we have this has to be like an intentional crossover, yes. Right?
Yeah, this is.
Because this is the behemoth, which is just the Final Fantasy.
Oh, hey, what's up, pal?
Which I would argue is a great addition to this game.
It's a good fit, I would say.
Which I think is going to be an unpopular opinion, though, to say, because I know a lot of people hated the fight, but I like what it did for their design sensibilities going forward, more so than what it does.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. Behemoth is not the greatest fight because it is a weird fight. It wants you to fight it almost like more a, like a raid in a boss. Group, yes. Yeah, like a raid boss. It wants you to fight it like a raid boss.
Yeah, they very much based it on the Final Fantasy MMO raid system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hmm. Like, you have to draw aggro on it. Like, someone in the party needs to. If you hit it in the head, it will draw aggro, and you want it to draw aggro, because if not, it's really fast and unpredictable with its attacks. So you kind of want to have an idea of who it's attacking in which direction. And not only that, it also has its special gimmick of Ecliptic Meteor. It has a named spell, because it's from Final Fantasy, which is, it calls down these, So, during the fight, it'll use, is it just regular meteor? Yeah, regular meteor. And that will leave a rock behind, and then Ecliptic Meteor will, you know, do with something that will wipe out the whole field that you're in. And you have to hide behind.
Yeah. Okay, so this is literally like copy-paste the fight from Labyrinth of Ancients in Final Fantasy XIV.
Yes.
Okay.
But I thought it was a really neat aspect to try to have that in Monster Hunter. Like, Monster Hunter is a game where the co-op in the old games was very position-based, and I think that, especially in World, to be fair, World let people get a bit more sloppy with their composition, because in old games you used to have to worry about, oh no, am I going to knock someone away with my attacks and whatnot, and basically everyone in World is building flinch-free, everyone's just going for wherever they want. It's almost like four people playing the game, like, solo, but at the same time.
But yeah, before it was like, I have a hammer, so I'll target the head, and you have a sword, so you go for the tail cuts, and you have this, and yeah.
Yeah, World kind of let you circumvent that, and a Behemoth, by the nature of its fight, kind of forced you to do more teamwork. Which, again, a lot of people had trouble with randos online and whatnot. And I get it. I get why this was an annoying fight for a lot of people. But what I like about it is, so I brought up, like, Ecliptic Meteor and whatnot. I think them putting an MMO fight into the game really helped them figure out how to do these really cool group engagements with later monsters. Because sometimes the problem with late-game Elder Dragons can be just that while their attacks are impressive, it's basically just, there's not a lot of mechanics to them. It's just, it does an attack that is going to kill you if you get hit and don't get hit.
Right.
I feel like Behemoth taught them to do a little bit more with mechanics, like with, oh, maybe you have to position yourself a certain way to dodge this in a very specific way, or maybe you need to be out of the center of the arena, or maybe you need to be in the center. Does everyone need to, you know, do a certain amount of damage, etc.?
Yeah,
which I think is really cool.
Suddenly, returning monsters from the older generations like Alatreon and Fatalis had, like, DPS checks and things that Monster Hunter hadn't done before. So even returning monsters got to draw on some of those MMO elements that, as Zillin is saying, would not have happened without Behemoth.
Yep.
It's also interesting because, obviously, as part of this crossover, it crossed the other way, right? There's a Rathalos fight in Final Fantasy XIV, and I also think that fight is a little bit of a mess of them not knowing how to do a Monster Hunter fight. But one of the things they do is that they take away the concept of aggro, which in Monster Hunter, in an MMO, is fucking wild. You have your tank run up to it and hit it, and it just looks away and goes for the healer. And you're like, wait, no, that's not, oh no.
Yeah. God, that sounds even more chaotic, but fun.
It's a complete mess.
Yeah. Behemoth, though, I just think was a really neat fight for the time. Should know early on, because I played a lot of this online, people soon realized one of the easiest ways to beat it was to mount it and then never actually finish the mount animation, like just sit on the back of it and jump back and forth. So you could just mount it and then all the other three players would just beat on it and it would skip straight to the last phase, which is pretty funny. Because it also had phases, like very specific phases of like going around the map.
It's also so fun. I don't know if this is like community language or in-game language, but the wiki is talking about the roles, and they're like, oh, and one of your people has to be the instigator. And it's like, guys, we have words for this. Just say tank.
Yeah, but when it's a wild creature, you're instigating it. You're not, whatever. Words are fake.
don't try and justify words this, Alan. It's fine. You will have to Google for the armor. It's Dragoon armor.
It looks cool, but yeah, it's just Dragoon armor. It is cool looking, though.
I'm gonna say we should cut this.
Okay.
Because it's not a Monster Hunter fight?
It's not a Monster Hunter fight, it's not a Monster Hunter design, and...
It's not Monster Hunter armor.
I'm happy that it was a good lesson for them.
Yeah.
But I think what's here isn't worth keeping.
I think it's creative, and I want them to do way more stuff like this. I mean, just please let me fight a mech, an actual robotic mech in Monster Hunter, you fucking cowards. But, like...
There is a Metal Gear in...
That's true. Oh, no, true. We raided it. It's the Peace Walker one, yeah. But, like, let me do that on a modern one. And, try weird things like this. I don't want to, like, discourage them from trying things. I just think that this is not...
Fair.
Like,
well, if you're cutting it, then I am glad at least that Dylan got to talk about what a like mechanical revolution this was for Monster Hunter, because I completely agree with that point.
Yeah. Is this like really hard to get to? Could I fight this like in my lifetime in Monster Hunter World?
It's one of the end game challenges.
Okay.
Well, if you're playing, there is a high rank version of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, in base world, it's, like, one of the high-ranked ones. My problem is that my brain's like, well, that's not that far in. That's only halfway in, because you still have all of Iceborne. But I guess for someone who hasn't already poured, like, the 500-plus hours that I have into it, maybe not quite as, yeah.
But you wouldn't want to fight Extreme Behemoth, or Extremeth, as people called it, because it's just amped-up Behemoth and worse.
Yeah. I will say I'm okay with the cut, because, like I said, I think it did great things for the game, and I like it for that aspect, but it's not a fun fight. It's not the most fun.
Yeah.
But I have nice memories of fighting it with my friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and beating it felt great. It wasn't like it was a slog, and it took forever to do, but beating it, oh my god, I was so happy.
Yep.
So, sometimes overcoming the challenge is fun enough.
Mm-hmm. True.
Yeah, I'm also okay with the cut.
All right. This brings us to another new monster. Well, I guess that's what we do around here. But the Dodogama.
Oh, I love this guy. Oh, he's so good. I wish the game didn't screw him, but he's good.
Friend-shaped, first things first. Very much friend-shaped.
Fan favorite. Friend
wyvern. Yep. He's just so cute. Similar body to the Great Jagras. I guess. Oh yeah, like literally same skeleton. Yeah.
The great drag. It's the great Jagras's inflated skeleton. but a nice thing about Dodogama, and this is something they brought up in the design book too, is that you fight it in the Elder's Recess, which is all like elder dragons and in-game gods and things, and then Dodogama is just there eating rocks.
Hey guys.
Yep. And it does not aggro on you at all unless you hit it first.
Aww.
Yep. It's one of those monsters where I'm a little sad. It's a weird one, right? I wish it was introduced earlier, because I wish it was something that was more of a challenge, because it's definitely not when you get to it. Mm-hmm. But also, it is a cool idea to just have, like, a weaker monster in this, like, endgame area.
Scarier,
that just
yeah.
It's like an actual ecology thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Which is neat. Look at this guy. He's perfect.
Yep. Well, and a nice thing about Dodogama, too, I remember my own experience, like, The dodo, even though it was a weaker monster in the area, its gear like brought me up to a level where I could at least survive the other monsters there better than I was doing before I fought it.
Yeah, that's very true. This guy eats rocks and makes explosions with those rocks.
Yep. Oh, I hate to say this, Dylan. You just took him down a point. We literally have somebody who eats rocks and makes explosions with rocks already, though. Don't we have a monster that's exactly that?
We really do.
Oh, Dodo.
Yeah, but this one's really good because if you hit the head enough, well, it has a bunch of rocks in its mouth, the head will explode and then it'll fall over because it's like, oh no.
We literally just talked about a monster that does that.
I think the other one
does. But this does it more comedically. It's much sillier.
This
doesn't,
Yeah.
This is a silly... I'm not even talking about the Valstrax. I forget what the guy I'm thinking of is. It's not from that long ago.
This was a different... Yeah, the rocks in the mouth was a different one.
You're thinking of Tetsukaber, who you also cut.
Oof! Why did we cut Tetsu?
We cut the equipment.
We kept
the design.
Keep design, cut equipment.
Yeah, but Dodogon is much cuter than Tetsukaber.
It is. It is a sweet little buddy.
I love its beady eyes and its shovel chin.
But they literally did this. That's the whole point of cutting. Is they don't. We don't want repeats. What if
I am leaning strongly towards
cut. What if Tetsukaber but cute as hell? And like, sure, yes, I would get a plushie of this, of the Dodogama.
No, you wouldn't, because it wouldn't exist anymore, because we're cutting it.
Ooh, oh, it wouldn't, gosh. Yeah. It's not in the world anymore.
It's gone.
And if the armor sold me, we would be in business. But the armor's like thick, with like 5 Cs. And it's layered, and that's kind of neat. But it's just blue.
Well, that's Dodogama, thick and blue.
Yeah. Thick and blue.
Yeah, but, like...
I do like that the shoulders kind of resemble, like, the shovel jaw.
Yeah.
Also.
Yeah.
This one has more personality to me than, like, the Anjanath armor. I like this.
Sure, but that's because this is an endgame monster.
Yeah. Is this a later game one?
Yeah, it's in the...
Oh, right, it's in the
final
year.
Map, the Elder's Recesses.
I gotcha.
I can't endorse this one either.
I'm like looking at the fucking Wesley Snipes meme right now. I'm holding the gun up and crying.
Listen, we have a job to do around here, right? We're professionals.
I love this guy. We did
this to about 1,000 Pokemon.
I can't endorse the cunning of this because I love it.
I'm sorry, Dylan, but listen, we appreciate you two as consultants, but ultimately...
Yeah, this is the harsh lesson I learned, which is that I can advise, but ultimately the vote is going to go where it goes.
Right, you know, we will allow you, like, tiebreakers and stuff and make your arguments, but...
Yeah,
you know,
you'll let me do, like, what dreams may come and pull one out of hell every so often, but... No, but just know that Dodogama is a fan favorite, and, you know, it's your funeral when the Dodo community hears of this.
Come at
and us. You know what's worse?
What?
That's what we're ending on for this episode, because I gotta go to fucking work, y'all.
Ooh! That's like when you finish a Who Wants to Be a Millionaire episode, and the person loses on the second question, and then the episode ends. You're like, oh, God. Oh, no. Does it have a Palico? Oh. Hold on. Can I need to keep it now? Dodogama Palico armor, please?
You can dress your the little pig you get in the game Poogie as a tiny Dodogama.
That's all right.
But yeah, it doesn't have Palico armor.
Nope.
It does. I just don't think the internet's very good at capturing Palico armor.
No, like the Reddit specifically says.
Oh, really? Dodogama armor for the
every monster except Suspies has an armor except for Palico except Dodogama. Wow. Why?
Wow.
That's rude.
Stinks.
Okay, well...
People have drawn it. People have made fan art of, like, what would it look like.
I, you know, just Dodogama, just know that Dylan and I love you very much, and we don't agree, but it is what it is.
Jumping into the dimensional terror that's erasing it from the universe.
That's right.
Following.
Oh, if you want to go too, listen. If we all want us to add and cut
Dylan.
You
can go hang out with Jinx over there.
you all cut my favorite Pokemon. Slowpoke is dead.
Why are we like this?
I don't know. Some of these ones.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. I could look at the Pokemon thing and start complaining at the end.
Yeah. Go ahead and complain. Tell me if you want Parasect. Paris?
Oh yeah, we gotta bring Parasect back for you. Oh, you know what? Really, the world was just crying out for a Clefable.
Okay, you kept Ampharos, so that's already good. Hold on.
Just control F your faves and get really mad. This is the way to do it.
I am. Oh, you kept Volcarona also, actually, so okay.
We have good taste, sort of.
And you kept Absol. Cool.
Of course. Yeah, that was the fight I think I fought.
Good Pokemon.
Yeah, we keep the good ones.
Well, no, I was there for Absol,
too. You were there for Absol? Okay, good.
Yeah, I'm just cool edgy boy.
Mm. Well...
unlucky.
At least you have my top.
Well, hold on. I never noticed Meowth was cut before.
Yeah, that's one. Didn't we make a note?
It says
of,
under
like,
review by it.
Under review. Yeah, we don't know why we did that. I think the reason. Oh, you know what? I think I remembered the reason, which is because we kept Alolan Meowth, and they're basically the same Pokemon, just different colors, yeah. So we don't need the redundancy. That was why.
Wow.
And he did keep Galarian Meowth, too, which fucking rules, so.
Yep.
Galarian Meowth kicks ass, yeah. Anyway, thank you so much for joining us.
You didn't keep a single fucking Slowbro. Oh, okay.
Whew. You know what? It's what could be more appropriate than, like, literally 2 years, maybe 3 years later, a Slowpoke defender coming to complain?
It took me a while, but now I'm here. The Slow King themselves.
Dylan, as our guest, thank you so much for joining us. Where can people find you and your work on the internet?
You can find me at LowPolyRobot on Twitter.com, where I'm usually posting video games and mostly mecha, but, you know, if you're listening to the Scanline Network, you probably have heard my other show on here, Mechanista NG with Six. If not, please listen. Words are hard right now. I'm sick. just got done with the I'm at the tail end of COVID brain bad stuff, so you know,
fighting through it.
Yeah, I made it. I'm good. But yeah, no, this is a great time. I love Monster Hunter a lot. It's a series true to my like near and dear to my heart, and I don't know, I'm just very glad to be on here, especially because we had a good set of monsters.
We really did.
But yeah, thank you.
I'm gonna throw out an endorsement too. I have known Dylan for many years online, and they are cool and good.
Yeah,
agreed. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. They're all right. I didn't get to use my big insult, which was what I was saving, but there was no one who was bad enough.
What was it?
I was gonna call. you're not gonna like it.
Just go for it. Just do it.
I was going to call something the bound dock of Monster Hunter.
Fucker.
Minofsky, where can people find you on the internet?
Motherfucker!
You can find me on Twitter at Minofsky Article, and for the time being, right here on this show on anything Monster Hunter related.
Excellent. Yeah, we got some more to go. We got a whole lot of world, whole lot of fun designs to talk about. Alan, what about you?
Hi, folks. I'm on a couple other podcasts. All of them are under the Chats a Television podcast moniker. That's Chats, our main show, where my best friend Majon and I watch two cult classic TV shows every week, and we talk about them and do a deep dive. Right now, we're starting our discussion of one of my favorite shows of all time, which is The Leftovers, and I'm excited for people to hear discussions on that. We also do Should You Watch, which is a show where we watch current television and tell you if it's worth binging. And every 3 months we do Trek Chats, where we watch Star Trek and tell you what it's like watching Star Trek for the first time in 2020, whatever we're in right now. Those can all be found at chatspod.com and wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right. And you can find me on Twitter at six.mar, S-I-X-D-E-T-T-M-A-R. You can find my work at patreon.com/scanlinemedia and scanlinemedia.com. And friends and folks, until next time... Quest completed.